to experience. We thank you for the provision of all things in Christ Jesus. And we have to have a glass of
chapter 14 verse 2. He says that when I pray or when I speak in my own tongues, I speak not unto men but unto God, for no man understands me. However, in the spirit I speak mysteries. In the spirit I speak mysteries. Later on, now says that when you pray in your own tongues, you edify yourself. Yes, we edify ourselves. Just like 2:26, he says that building up yourself on your apostolic faith. Building up yourselves on your apostolic faith. Praying in other tongues, you make progress, you rise like an edifice. Now we're about to rise like an edifice to make progress when we pray in the spirit. Maharagadosa, Ibrigadekelegadese, Menenetibagadosa, Venisa, Ignadosa, Ignadoboragadosa, Ibrigadagadagadasa, Ibrigadekelegadere, Menenetibagadosa, Venisa, Ignadosa, 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 Dondoragadibagadosa, Venisa, I am edified.
Kinatasa, 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 to us, you're forever worthy of our praise.
Thank you. Praise God. That was beautiful worship. Welcome. Praise God. Welcome to church. Welcome to this beautiful Sunday morning service. I believe you'll be blessed. It's just so exciting to be able to get together like this. So let's know what you think about this. I'll say it again when we're ending the service, but so good to finally be able to have you see us. We can't see you yet, but I mean, it's one step at a time. I believe you've been enjoying the speaker audio services we've been having. This is our very first time, you know, now doing audio visual. So you could see, I know some of us, for certain reasons, might still do audio on Spreaker, but it's just exciting, you know, that we can have a community on Facebook and then have everybody join in and then see ourselves. So, hey, hi, been a while. Looking forward to when we'd all finally be able to get together and just have some great services, but this is what we have, is what we're going to make do with. So praise God. On Wednesday, we continued on our teaching about the character of love, and it's important we understand this. Two forces, love and then selfishness. You have to go back through the teaching to really get this, but two forces, love, selfishness. Once again, I know it's love versus hate. If you read 1 John, which we've read, okay, 1 John chapter 2 says, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, so there it puts love versus hate, all right? I'm just wanting us to be a lot more aware of selfishness, in that love is sacrificial. Love goes a distance. Selfishness holds back. Selfishness is more into itself, all right? Jesus said, there's no love greater than this for a man to lay down his life for friends, all right? Jesus also said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So we see that love is demonstrated in sacrifice. Love is demonstrated in giving, all right? Selfishness is me first. What's in it for me? What do I get? You know, so not because God doesn't in any way want us to have rewards. I mean, Bible says whatever a man sows, that he will reap. Okay, so that means God has a giving and receiving system in place. God wants you to. But in as much as God knows when we give or receive, he doesn't really want that to be our motive. He wants love to still be the motive. No wonder Bible says in Acts that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So receiving is not wrong. Receiving is not bad. It's just more blessed, all right? More blessed to be on the giving end. Why? Because giving expresses the character of love. It just shows, hey, I can place you above myself. I can consider you. And all of that, okay? Once again, like I said, was it maybe when last Sunday or something? You know, how that there's still the place where you need to learn. I would say, I have to talk about take care of you, take care of you, and we'll do that. But we're trying to learn, okay, what's the character of love? So I'd asked us to read Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25, and asked us also to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7 or 8, like I now taught us on Wednesday. So I've asked us to do that, all right? So please, in doing that, hope you did, okay? Just in case you didn't, we'll do it a lot more further today. So which do we start with? Galatians, 1 Corinthians 13. So go to 1 Corinthians 13, all right? And we'll pick it up from there. Quite interesting piece of revelation, beautiful revelation. So 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, using the Amplified Bible. So, in understanding this revelation, it's much more than what I teach or preach. What I mean by that is you and I have got to give attention to what the word says. And I had to repeat something on Wednesday. I said the same thing last Sunday. There's something about the question that you and I feel we need to ask. And that's this. How or what informs my definition of my love walk? How I feel. My background, experiences around me, experiences I've had, or God's word, right? You find some people growing up and they may be their mothers saying things like, men are you not useful? Men cannot be trusted. You find some men also having to tell their children, women can't be useful. Women aren't trusted. You find some it's tribal. All right. You say, oh, where are you from? I'm Calabar. Who you want to marry? Ijabu. No, don't marry Ijabu people. Ah, I remember what they did to me in 1914. You know, what they did to me in 1902. And then you hear, oh, don't marry Abeokuta. Or you hear, oh, don't marry. And then, you know, it's amazing. I remember when I was much younger. And then we have to go fetch water from the next street. What we call tribalism is just a spirit of strife. Is the devil always coming in with a spirit of division, always looking for something to bring discord, something to create division. So, I mean, one state doesn't like the other state. One tribe doesn't like the other tribe. It's amazing how that, you know, when I was younger then, I had to go fetch water from one street doesn't like the next street. I say, is the people from that other street that are coming to finish our water here? You know, everybody just would have something to say, you know, one level of something that brings division. And you find that in Galatians chapter 5, division is one of the works of the flesh. So anything that is always looking for how to separate people, how to scatter something, how to beware. And as a believer, don't be found there. Don't be found when division is working. And don't allow yourself to be used, all right, by the flesh, by the devil, all right, to bring about division. Okay, so that doesn't mean you can't say things that need to be said, but check the motive, check the spirit behind it. Don't say, well, is it not the ushers that are always doing this even for us when we have choir rehearsals? And what you might say might sound so, but what is the effect you create? Could you say, oh, it's possible a few of the ushers might need to be explained to better on how they could just help us since they know we'll go. Something you say that doesn't sound like, oh, it is the ushers, oh, it is the choristers, oh, it is, and then it brings a spirit of division. So you think through, okay, what you want to address, you think through how you want to address it, you think through the impact, all right, the effect it will likely have, so that you're not involved in division. In scattering, are you getting this? All right. Because there's love and then there's self. And self still works with we. All right. There's this, honor code. Yeah, that was it. I taught honor code some time back. You know, we could have honor code and then it's just a general principle of you learning to honor people. All right. You generally learning to be good to people, kind to people. But then you could have this, caucus code. All right. So I'm only nice to those that are my people. So if you're not careful, all right, it's us. So it's us first. As long as it's us, we'll fight for ourselves. And then you find that it gets so bad when someone now is no longer in that group, in that sect, in that caucus. Then they treat the person like somebody. Then it's not pure honor code. It's not pure love. It's just you wanting to do the thing the way you want to do it. You know, and then how you want to get along. Anyway, so 1 Corinthians 13, so that we allow the Bible, you know, do a lot of this speaking. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm reading the NLT again. All right, so from the first verse, if I could speak all the languages of earth, all right, and of angels, but don't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. All right, Paul is not downsizing or downplaying the place of tongues, but he's saying you need to walk in love. Verse 2 says, if I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all God's secret plans and, you know, possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I don't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I don't love others, I would have gained nothing. So Paul is saying there's this importance of love. It must be your motive and then your motivator. Verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love does not demand on its own way. Love, all right, is not irritable. So let's slow down, pick it again from verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. If we are children of love, and we are, then Bible expects us to be patient and kind. Patient and kind. Patient and kind. Practice patience. Practice patience. Right? It was Joyce Meyer a number of years ago. I was hearing her, you know, talk, you know, she was teaching, and then she said, some people, you know, they want patience, and then they say, oh God, one thing I want right now, I want patience, and God, I want it like right now, I want it right now. You know, so it's amazing, really, that's how some people are. Now, must you sit back, hold on, and just keep watching opportunities in life pass you by and not get up and go for them? Oh no. I mean, as much as we teach contentment, we're not teaching containment. Right? You've got to get the difference now. So you could be content, but don't be contained. But this is it. If everything in life gets you worked up, anything that looks like a delay, you must find a way around it. You might train yourself to be an impatient person. Alright? You might just train yourself. So food has to be fast. Everything has to be, everything is, I want it now. If I can't get it now. You know, Bible says in Hebrews 6 and 12, follow those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. So there's a place for patience. James chapter 1 from verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh out patience. He then says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I've said this a few times, and allow me to say it again. It bears repetition. What if, because of the love that certain people might have had for Joseph, let's assume there were certain people that just loved Joseph, and then they decided to go rescue Joseph, all right, from Egypt. They went on horses. They, you know, no guns back in those days, but, I mean, they had swords and spears, and then they rode down, and then they carried loads of money. And then they said, hey, we heard our brother or our pal has been sold here. We came to buy him. As much as they went to rescue him, they likely were just going to get him away from God's agenda that was playing out. He might have taken time. He might have seemed horrible, but something was playing out. So impatience could allow us jump ship. All right. We feel this is packed. This is slow. This is going nowhere. You don't check your heart. You know, so you could just jump ship, and this one is packed, this one is slow, this one's not moving, you know, but love is patient. But this now, in us using it to deal with people, it means love is patient with people. Love is patient. Love is kind. Because it's saying if you have tongues, you have faith to move mountains, I mean, you have knowledge, you give your body to be burned, so you could do all that and still not be patient with people. Do you know sometimes even in leadership, you might love the crowd but not love the individuals? You know, so someone could, you know, have a company and all you do is what? You bake bread, but profit is what drives you, not the love for people tasting your bread and go, oh, God bless whoever manufactured this bread. Now, you should do business to earn profit. But if it's all about that, then everything we just do is not driven by pure motive to just put a smile on someone's face or bless somebody. You could make your money and people are smiling, and they are smiling and you are smiling to the bank. You can. You should. But I'm saying love now says, I am patient. I am patient. Anybody want to say that? I am. I can be patient. I am. I am. I am. It means I could give it a little more time. I am patient. I am kind. Let's move. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. You don't feel like you're losing. You don't feel, oh, the person's going away from me. You don't feel, it says love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love does not demand on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love is not irritable. Love is not easily irritated. Love is not irritable. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I know they shouldn't have worn their shoes into your room. I know they shouldn't have worn their shoes on your rug. I know you really, over time, have trained yourself not to stand it. But love is not irritable. Love is patient. Oh, but you told them 5 times. There are things I know God has told you like 50 times. You are yet to do everything. So the same way, and if you remember where we began from, the same way God loves us, the same way Jesus loves us, he wants us to love others that way. So if he's forbearing with us, all right, no matter how perfect you think we are, you know, some of us have this, I'm a perfectionist. No, you're just a perfectionist in your own eyes, in your own way, and in the eyes of people around you. I'm sure if we weigh you in the light of God's agenda for your life, I don't think, listen, Bible says if God will mark iniquity, nobody will stand. So the perfection we have in God is not because of our works. Bible says not of works, lest any man should boast. So all the brag about I'm a perfectionist, just maybe on your job, it can't fly in the kingdom of God. Can we talk about this for a minute? It can't fly. I don't take it when someone is not doing anything around me. I just say, I can't take it. God has been taking a whole lot of stuff from you for too many years. You've not won a soul, maybe this year, or maybe in the last 5 years, and God didn't kill you. So if you're a perfectionist, then what about that? You know, remember what Jesus said, all right, when that, you know, rich young ruler met him. I said, good master, tell me what I need to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, well, you know what the law says. You know, do the law. And the guy just must have had to, you know, flex his shoulders a little bit. You know, if he had some collar, which I doubt, he must have had to just, you know, adjust his collar and like, I've been obeying the law since I was young. You know, I've done everything in the law. You know, Bible said Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack. Sell everything you got and go give it to the poor. And the guy walked away from Jesus sad. That if he could judge himself, I'm sure that I've told people I'm a perfectionist. Even when it comes to the law, I'm flawless. Which Paul the apostle also said. But when Paul met Jesus, what could he say after that? He said, everything I've attained up until now, I consider just dung. So the best of human, you know, perfectionism is nothing. Nothing. All right, it's in the light of God we can now know how well we're doing. So he calls us perfect because Jesus paid the beautiful price of shedding his blood for us and redeeming mankind. So that perfects us. But we're still all maturing. So while you have that, I am a perfectionist, I'm a stickler for this, and now, we must have standards of excellence. We must not encourage undue mediocrity. We must push people to strive to achieve better things and do better things. I mean, we've moved from just doing Spreaker audio, now we're doing video. So we're moving, we're striving, and it takes an effort. We're striving. So we should push for excellence. We shouldn't just allow, you know, something horrible, hogwash, or haphazardly done and say, well, it's okay, let's manage it. No. God is not that way. Heaven is described to us as a perfect place. I'm saying with all of God's perfection, God is patient. With all of his perfection, he's patient. So one of the things we could learn from God is put the pressure of perfection more on yourself. And then put the pressure of kindness more on the people. All right, because it's easy for you to be kind and understanding on yourself. Maybe you don't get something right and you feel, I'll get it right next time. You know, yeah, I feel bad to be, but I'll get it right next time. And then you almost kill the other person for not getting it right. Put the pressure on perfection on yourself without still killing yourself. Push yourself. Drive yourself. Now, yes, you have there to impact people, maybe to mentor people and all of that. So do that, but put more pressure on leading yourself. But show kindness. Show kindness. Love is patient. Love is kind. Are you getting that? We're trying to learn this thing, but yet again, I've got to move with it. So love is patient. Love is kind. All right. So love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love doesn't demand its own way. And we just stop that. Love is not irritable. Love, Bible says, does not, and this one is big. It keeps no record of being wronged. Keeps no record of being wronged. It's big. It keeps no record of being wrong. It keeps no record of, you did it last night. Then you've done it this morning. I'm sure you're going to do it before afternoon is over. It keeps no record of being wrong. Then maybe this was what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples when Peter asked him, so how many times should my brother offend me and I'm going to forgive him? And Jesus said 7 times 7. Some place also he said 70 times 7. So whether I'll go by 49 or by 490, it's huge. That means in a day, someone could offend you 49 times. I mean, like I've had to jokingly say, whoever offends you 49 times in a day already, the person I kill a day 49 times in one day. Why? What's the person looking for? But Jesus is simply coming here to say, love is forbearing. Now, this is tough. This is, humanly, you're like, no, no. You know, I'm sure you grew up hearing the statement to err is human. And to forgive is divine. So people say things like that just to excuse our inability to forgive people. But Jesus said, the way I forgave you, forgive them. It's a tough one. But Jesus is not asking us to do it in our strength. is asking us to do it according to God's word. And maybe while I'm talking right now, you might need to send a text to someone. If you don't want to write, I forgive you. You could just say, hello, just thought to check up on you. Have a great day. Break the silence, please. Break the silence. For some people, you might need to say, I forgive you. Past is gone. For some, just start with, hello. The person might go, emoticon, big face. Did you just say hello? Then you could, nah, that's past. Let's move on. But we might need to do that. Let's not carry grudges. Let's not move grudges. I mean, I've seen people hold grudges for 20 years. I've seen people hold grudges, you know, for 30 years. I've seen that. I'm sure many of you might have seen it in your families. Even some people at the point of their death are still saying, that person, don't ever forgive them. These people don't relate with them. And you're like, you're about to die. You're still remembering who offended you. You're about to die. You know, so we find that we've grown up in those kinds of systems. But God says, let them go. Listen, you might not now eat with them, sit with them. You know, maybe you still want to get some room and space to adjust, but let them go. Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. So you might need to even learn to pray. You know, these people hurt me. Oh God, I pray for them that you would, that they would enjoy favor from people. Ah, lie over my dead body. I'll never do that. No, it's the training we need to silence the flesh. I'll say it again. It's the training we need to silence the flesh. When you greet those who don't greet you, you're telling your flesh, my spirit is boss here. God's word is boss here. That's what you're doing. But when you don't greet those who don't greet you, your flesh is saying, I'm boss here. I'm boss over God's word. Because Jesus said, if you don't greet those who don't greet you, I'm what makes you different. But your flesh says, we're not going to greet them. I mean, that person is like younger than my third born, younger than our third born. I'm first. And I'm like 7 years old. And I'm sure these brats, am I the one that will go and greet the brat? God's word says, do it. Your flesh says, don't do it. And that's why I want us to get to Galatians soon, but we need to finish on this. Galatians says there's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Spirit wants to go this way. Flesh wants to go that way. Spirit, and Paul says the way to go about it in dealing with the flesh. Paul didn't say you deal with the flesh by prayer and fasting. Now, yes, in praying and fasting, you are telling your flesh, I can keep away from food. You can't make me eat when I'm going to eat. You know, so that's where you're telling your flesh something. But if that's all you do with your flesh of, so I fasted and you know, I put my body on there and I didn't eat. And even in the fast, you're still, I'm not going to greet that. No, you must tell your flesh as often as you can. Because this fight between the flesh and the spirit is a lifelong battle. Because you're still in this body. It's a lifelong battle. You got to get this. So there's no point where we get to and say, let me just relax for a while and just let the flesh do what it wants to do. We could get into trouble that way. A number of times we've got into trouble that way. Trouble, sometimes you find it hard to quickly want to get out. But the way to still get out is walk in the spirit. Paul said it. He said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right. So let's scroll on. So he says, love does not keep record of being wrong. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. This is a tough one. Never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown tongue, you know, might cease. So Paul is telling us in verse 8 now, prophecy, speaking in unknown language, special knowledge will become useless. Love will last forever. Love is eternal. Let's pick what now? Passion? Okay, let's do passion translation. We'll pick it from 4. Passion translation. It says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Love is large and consistently patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind, incredibly patient rather. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Love refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievement nor inflate its own importance. Did you get that now? So it's adding more meaning to what we read in NLT. It says it refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. It means love would willingly and joyfully and sincerely celebrate someone else's success. You won't do that in front and go say something behind. I don't even know how she made that money. Who knows who she slept with? I don't even know what he's been doing right now. Maybe he's joined some of those bad boys. You know, and then when they want to say, hey, we're going to pop champagne, hey, we're celebrating, hey. So no, he says love would be genuine about it. Love would not be jealous. And you know, sometimes we now get jealously spiritual about it. Haven't finished celebrating, but it's now go to your room. Oh God, you did it for her. When are you going to do it for me? You know, and then we just, well, kind of like, God, is that person more special than I am? Hey, but no. One person gets it, rejoice. You rejoice with those who rejoice because you believe you have received your own also. All right? You believe you receive. Okay, so one showed up before the other. Doesn't mean they're both not on their way. Did you get that part? One shows up before the other. They're all on their way. As long as you believe you've received. You're in faith. So, it says love refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about, you know, one's achievement, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Let's see this. Love is not easily irritated. Love is not quick to take offense. I know, we've unconsciously, some of us, giving importance to mood swings. I've entered my mood. I'm in that mood. Many times you come out of that, your mood, all right, just to be a blessing to someone. So you don't understand. I'm an introverted person. I really don't like talking to people. Blah, 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 bling, blah, 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 blah. People get surprised when I tell them I'm introverted. They're like, no, it's not possible. I'm like, well, yeah. I could be in my shell for 10 months if I have to. All right, I could. I don't have to leave my zone. All right, I remember staying in Abeokuta, you know, and except I'm going to church, I hardly leave the house. And my neighbors, because they didn't know the times I went to church and came back, didn't even know that I was home. So someone came to visit me and they said, oh, he's not home. Oh, a person called my phone. I came out. They're like, are you home? I said, I've been home. They just haven't seen me like 2 weeks, but I was home. I remember earlier when I was in a drama group, you know, back then, and people don't know that before I climb stage, I close my eyes for a few seconds. I'm like, ah, all right, go. So I jump on stage and say, hey, and then I jump down and I don't feel like talking to anybody for a few seconds. I want to enter my shell. So people see me talk. Yes, I do that because I need to connect. I've got to connect. I've got to relate with people. Outside that, I want to keep quiet. But you hardly see me sulking and people are there. What's up? I want to be quiet. I want to be quiet. I've entered mood. No, I keep that to when I'm alone. I keep that to when, and you don't even see me sulking. I don't sulk. I'm in my mood. No. Yes, I might be preparing for a meeting, so my wife might know, okay, he has something on his mind. So it's not mood. You're entering meeting preparation mode. I say, yeah. So that's a mood, not mood. You know, mood. I enter mood. No. You want to think, meditate, sorry, let people around you know, I just want to pray, babe. So those are not emotional or temperamental moods. No. Those are spiritual activities. And you should have a long bout of them. You should get aside a bit and meditate. You should have quiet moments, you and the Lord. You should. You should have time to think and ponder and plan and strategize. You should. Those are great things to do. But don't just enter moods, all right? Don't deal with the moods. Because love would consider the people around. Now you might say, they should also consider me. You consider them. When they are away, pull back. But what happens when you are squatting with people? I've had to live with people for quite a while in my life. All right, I've had to live with people a bit. And then you blend with the environment, blend with their atmosphere. I had a friend who stayed with some people and they thought he just never prayed. Always will yab him. You don't even have a prayer life. You're not even serious with God. We never see you pray, never see you do anything. But not knowing that he always considered them. So he goes to bed early while they are still chatting and watching TV. Then he wakes up like 2-3, prays till about 5. Then they wake up like 5:30 and then they see him sleeping. But he's prayed from like 2 a.m. till about 5 a.m. or 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. And he does that consistently every night. I mean, I've spent some nights with him back then on campus. And you see him pray midnight. He said he learned it. He stays with people. Oh. So he has to wake up when they are asleep so that he can have his own focus time to pray and worship, and he still do it so quietly not to bother any. So you could just... Are you getting this? Alright, but let's read scripture. You read again and again. Read different versions like I've had to encourage us on your own, and let the Bible speak to you. We can't get this overnight, but let the Bible speak to you. Alright? Let the Bible speak to you. But the point where we are at in TPT, that's this the Passion Translation, it says here that love is not easily irritated. Love is not quick to take offense. Don't find offense in every little thing. Love is not quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty, and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is safe, a safe place of shelter. Love never stops believing the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. And verse 8a, love never stops loving. Ha ha, isn't that interesting? Love never stops loving. Would you please want to still read through this on your own? Just read through this. Read through this. Just read and let the Bible speak to you, okay? Because I want us to get to Galatians 3. We might come back. We might not. But, I mean, Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. So Galatians 5 from the 16th verse. Allow me get back to... Let me do King James. So let's do King James, KJV. Galatians 5 and the 16th verse of Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." All right, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you want to do. There's a struggle, the flesh against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you want to do. So there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. 18 says, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. 19 now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So he begins to say something. So let me point it out. He didn't say the works of the devil. Now, can the devil be involved in any of this? Yes. But Paul, of course, is the one who told us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Paul is the one who told us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Paul is the one who told us, all right, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But the same Paul here does not say works of the devil. Paul says works of the flesh, not the devil. It means that these are things within our control if we allow ourselves to bring the control over there. Now, like I said, the devil could take advantage of it, but they are works of the flesh. So, reading. So, Paul says in 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, meaning they are obvious. All right. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And he now tells us, okay, in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. Those who belong to Christ, they've crucified their flesh with his affections and lusts. 25 now says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. So, every one of us born again, we are in the Spirit. Paul says, we are. But you also need to walk in the Spirit. All right? Walk in. Because you could be in the Spirit and then allow the flesh to find expression. So Paul is saying, please note what he said in 24 and also 25. 24 says, and they that are Christ's, they have crucified the flesh with his affections and lust. This is our spiritual reality. All right. Remember Galatians, same Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. All right. Who loves me and gave himself for me. But I have been crucified. Remember Romans chapter 6? He says our old man has been crucified. The body of sin has been destroyed. Those are the revelations we now use to fight this fight. Because St. Paul, who said we've crucified the flesh and the affections of the flesh, still is telling us that the flesh would want to war against the spirit. Have you tried fasting before? I believe you have. And then you get hungry. The more you think about the hunger, the more likely that fast is about to break. The more you take your mind off the hunger, the stronger, the more you can go a little bit more, maybe 30 more minutes, maybe one more hour, maybe two more hours. The more you just feed on it, the more you could go one day more, 2 days more, maybe 1 week more. But it's where your focus lies. It's what affects you, all right? Because the more you fast and then you think about the hunger, then you think about the pangs, whatever feeling comes to you, the flesh will keep saying, no, you're not going to make it. No, you're not going to make it. So we have to train ourselves. I remember as a young believer, you know, about 17 years of age, I had to train myself to fast. You might have heard me tell the story before. And then I'm fasting. The first time I began fasting till noon. Now, up until this time, I mean, I don't know if you could call me a foodie or whatever it was. But yes, I mean, I gave good attention to my meals. All right. And then, you know, Bible says you need to help one another's burden. So if my sister can't finish her food, I help her out. Maybe my mom says she's full, I could help her out. Then I go to the kitchen again and I have my, just make sure nothing is wasted. You know, Jesus said, gather the fragments and nothing is wasted. So I was very obedient to that verse of the Bible. All right. But I just had a hard time not being able to fast. I mean, so 12 noon was like 10 days fast or maybe worse, maybe three, maybe, you know, so it's 8 a.m. I'm hungry already. I want to eat something. Then I tried doing some house chores, thinking they would last me till like 10, but I'm done with house chores before 9 a.m. All right. I'm thinking of what else I could do. I try to do something. Time is like, no. Then I sleep. As in, I literally jump on the couch or go to the bed. I sleep. Then I wake up, it's just 10. I mean, I'm praying for noon. I'm hungry. I'm starving. I'm going to die. You know that feeling? Like, I will die. But God helps me, I get to 12. And then I do it again, I get to 12. Then I said, okay, I'm going to do till 2. Then I'm going to do till 3. And then I'm going to do till 6. Then I'm going to do till 9. Then I finally hit my first 24 hours as a 17-year-old kid. You know, it's just that push. Now, the same way you could hear someone say, oh, I did 40 days fast. It's the push. Someone says, oh, I did 21. It's the push. Now, is it until you go very, very long fast that you're very spiritual? No. All right. Some preacher teach long fast. Some people like Ken Hagin will tell you they've never had to spend more than 3 days fasting because before the third day or by the third day, whatever it was they fasted about, they get it. Now that's result-based fasting. All right. That's someone not just fasting because people said, but that's someone understanding the word of God and how to key into it quickly. And one thing Ken Hagin teaches also is learn never to even allow your flesh have its way, even when you're eating any time of the day. Don't ever try to eat till you're full. Just like he called it, live a fasted life. All right, but there are times when you just want to stay off things. You just, and you know, fasting doesn't change God, but it just works on you. Puts your body under, allows you to be more sensitive. You shut down a lot of carnality that period. You're more sensitive, but this is it. So you fast 3 days, you're spiritual, you don't fight anybody. In fact, you postponed all their fights after your fasting. You know, just pushed everything later. So fast is over, then you now fight, you know, watch carnal stuff, say carnal things. That will make you like this. So that's why living a fasted life, that gets you consistently spiritual all the time. So even when you're angry with someone, you're not going to say, let me finish my fast. I'll come and get you. Because there's no time the fast will finish. It's a consistently spiritual fast. All right. You just always wanting to be light. Light also in your conscience. You don't want to carry load of offense. Just want to be light. You want to be light with food, light with conscience, light. You just want to be light. And I believe that's a very good position you and I could put ourselves in. So where are we? All right, we're still in 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So you and I have put the flesh under. That's what the Bible says. So we must maintain this and keep telling the flesh, we have crucified you. But guys, the moment we relax, the flesh kicks in. Because the flesh has been trying to find expression. The flesh isn't trying to say I'm boss. All right, Thessalonians, all right, 1 Thessalonians, you know, 5:23 says our whole spirit, soul, body, all right? So spirit is mentioned first, soul is mentioned next, body is mentioned last. But the body wants to come to the front, all right? The body wants to tell the mind, let's take over, let's control the reign of the spirit, let's come first. But the spirit, with the mind, also the spirit is talking to the mind, let's stay first, we should be first. Because your mind can be fed with information. You feed your mind with solid spiritual information, it tilts easily to the direction of the spirit. You tilt your mind with carnal information, it tilts in the direction of the flesh. You feed your mind with thoughts of fear, thoughts of loss. It's growing inside of you. You tilt in the direction. You feed your mind with what the person did to you, how the person offended you. It tilts your mind to unforgiveness. But you keep feeding your mind with what God did for you in Christ, how God forgave you even before you said you were sorry, it tilts you more to forgiveness, one to unforgiveness. So it's which direction you tilt. And Romans 12:2 says you now have the capacity to renew your own mind, meaning whatever your mind is fed with, it's in your hand. You can determine what you're going to feed on so that you can determine where you tilt. So if you find yourself tilting more to carnal things, wanting more to hang out with carnal stuff, your flesh always wanting to find expression, you're scrolling through social media and then some kinds of pictures are catching more of your attention and you know this is flesh and some things, you know, no. It's telling you that one part is winning the battle and that's the flesh. It's winning the battle. So what kind of music videos do you like? What kind of songs do you want to listen to? Because I keep saying songs create atmospheres. Songs create atmospheres. Songs, have you ever been angry or offended and then just play the calm worship song? Now I know sometimes you could still override it. I mean, you own your mind, but it has a way of soothing you, just soothing you, you know. But when all you hear is maybe pepper them, show them or whatever it is, then that's what you want to do. But Bible didn't say pepper, like I said on Sunday. Bible said salt, go and be the salt. So you're not pepper, you're salt of the earth, and you need to get that. This is who you are. Oh, dear Lord. Anyway, so that's us reading King James. But there's this word, all right, we find in King James when it talks about the works of the flesh, all right, in verse 19, it says adultery. We don't argue on what that is. Fornication. So the next two words seem unclear. One is uncleanliness, and the next is lasciviousness. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Uncleanness are basically things that are impure. Not clean. So, like I said on Wednesday, some slut in pornography there. Some slut in masturbation there. Impure thoughts. Uncleanliness. Because the first four are related to sexual sins. Uncleanliness. So adultery is a work of the flesh. The devil can come in. We open the door. He could push. I mean, the guy likes it. Anytime the devil sees anybody opening the door for the flesh to operate, the guy buys popcorn, buys some soda, sits down and he wants to enjoy the movie. And he's saying, hey, continue, keep going. He knows, he won't tell you, stop, you're going to get into danger. No, he likes it. But we are the ones opening the door to the flesh. Then the devil comes in and keeps pushing and keeps suggesting and keeps pushing. But even your flesh, you remember some of those cartoons you get to watch? Someone wants to make a decision and one small white angel shows up and then one small black demon shows up. And then the white angel is saying something, black demon is saying something. So maybe that might help you here of spirit. And then flesh. Do this. Cut it off. Don't go there again. Don't see him again. Don't see her. Or whatever it is. But I say, nah, I can handle it. And we usually don't admit on time that we can handle it. Or maybe we deceive ourselves anyway that we could and then find out later we couldn't. So one thing we're learning here. So uncleanliness is there. So what then is lasciviousness? It is a loss of self-control. It's when you have unbridled appetites, unbridled desires. All right? Another word similar to which you might have found is licentiousness or wantonness. All right? It's when you say someone is promiscuous. You can't say no. So someone asks for, you know, sex and you can't say no. Someone presses a button, you can't say no. Bible says it's the work of the flesh, is lasciviousness. That's what lasciviousness is. It's a lack of self. You can't pull back. But how do you do it? How do you fight these things? I said on Wednesday, and that's what we're going to get to soon, just maybe read one or two other versions of this, all right, that for every work of the flesh, there's a fruit of the Spirit to knock it off. For every work of the flesh. So for a lack of self-control, you already can guess which fruit of the Spirit. Temperance. So for every work of the flesh, so by the time you see lack of self-control, temperance comes to mind. Temperance, self-control. Alright, so those first four deal with sexually related sins. Then we move to idolatry. Alright, or idolatry. You know what it is. Having another God before God. Someone says, oh, but I don't worship idols. Yeah, that's what we think, but Paul wrote it here. Of course, in Paul's days, there was still very active idolatry. But don't forget what Jesus said. You cannot serve God and mammon. So mammon, money is the new God. Alright, for some, still goes back to sex is a new God. Paul also said concerning certain people that their God is their belly. So for some also, what they want to eat, all right, stomach infrastructure is the new God. So you find that certain things compete with God. For some, it's the child they have. You finally got your baby, but that baby is more important to you than God. Jesus cannot say anything about that baby. You know, so you've got to check what has now become God or what seems to take God's own place in your life. Idolatry. And Paul actually said that covetousness is idolatry. So when you're beginning to eye something that is not yours, eye something that someone has, it means you're not seeing God's ability to meet your need. You just want that thing and want it, however you want to get. Paul says it's idolatry. All right? It's idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. So next one he says is witchcraft. All right? Now we could say witchcraft, then new understanding of witchcraft is manipulation. But Paul here is still dealing also largely, if you check the meanings, all right, with the old method of understanding witchcraft. So the new one, yes, don't manipulate, don't twist people to get things done. Alright? So witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance is being at par, having to separate from people. Alright? So you see variance, variance. Alright? Also to bring in division. Emulation is still similar to wrath, strife, sedition. When you go against authority, raise people against authority. Or heresy, envying, murder. Drunkenness, revelings, that means wild party. So let's check which now. Okay, passion. So we'll do 19 again. All right. So the cravings of the self life, and see how he puts it. So he's mentioning selfishness there indirectly. The cravings of the self life are obvious: sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, interestingly, passional pulls out. Pornography. So, Paul didn't use that language, but like I told you, uncleanness for some, it's those unclean things, alright? So we're basically watching people having sex. So, now, it's not two people there, it's not even three, well, tell me that number of people we are seeing on the screen. I mean, that means, like we have right here, right now, there are people around me, but it's me you're looking at. So, when you watch pornography, there's a cameraman, there's a lighting man, there's a sound man, there's the makeup person, there's a floor person, and everybody's standing there watching people doing stuff, they should close their eyes. But that's this big business right now. Child pornography is big business. All right. It's whether soft or hardcore, whatever it is, and then it affects a lot of people. You learn stuff and you don't know that the people you're watching, they're either on drugs and they are not 100% okay. Then you now either go to your wife and now start saying what? Bend like this, stand like this. Your wife is not on drugs. All right. Your husband is not on drugs. All right. And then, you know, so we open ourselves to temptations and some of these things, of course, every day lead a lot of people to masturbation. So it's a lot of unclean thoughts. And Philippians 4 says only what is pure should go through our minds. So we open ourselves up to uncleanness. And you need to, you know, even when you have people on your social media, maybe WhatsApp status and all, if those are some of the things they post very often and you're beginning to like it, mute them. Just mute them. Because it will wake up your flesh and you don't know when the thing will want to find expression. It will wake up your flesh in sometimes just a very bad way. Right. So, Passion Translation mentions, you know, pornography. So verse 20, chasing after things instead of God. That's idolatry. So manipulating others. So witchcraft now. So he uses the modern, they use here the modern definition of witchcraft because right now people don't now go do normal witchcraft, do voodoo, you know, or some bad juju, like, you know, the foreigners will call it. You know, we say juju, so they say bad juju, you know, and all of that. You know, but now it's manipulation. You could manipulate people with your tears, manipulate them with money, manipulate them with salary. You could just manipulate with fear or whatever it is. Okay, so manipulating others, hatred for those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, scatter, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, you know, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion. This is quite interesting. You need to read this again. This is TPT. All right, so listen. Every one of us, we've got phones, all right? And almost every one of us has a good phone. I know some of you, your faith project is a phone, and I believe you would receive, all right? But try to download YouVersion. It's a Bible app, all right? The YouBible, all right? It has loads of Bible versions. If I could even watch movies on it, all right? It has Bible videos. If you want to do a Bible study plan, it's helpful. If you want a Bible verse every day, memory scriptures, it gives you all of that. And the space it consumes on your phone is tiny. All right? I know you have movies, you have music. This doesn't consume too much space. And it's free. You don't pay anything for it. You know, so that's why it's easy for us. I mean, back in those days, you have to carry like several Bibles, put them all on stage. And then, but now you could just, I have the same thing on my phone. All right, so temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild party. You know, people are drinking, smoking shisha, and believers say there's nothing wrong. Come on, come on. You don't have a business with wild parties. They shouldn't find you there. All right, and all other similar behaviors. So let's go to what he says in, you know, but a fruit produced by the Holy Ghost within you, hallelujah, is divine love. Watch this, in all its varied expressions. I like that. Divine love in all its varied expressions. So it says, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, praise that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. You can't overdo any of these things. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, strength of the spirit. Guys, these are the things we see right here in God's word. All right? So when you read through on your own, and I still want you to do that before Wednesday, the fruit of the spirit, the works of the flesh, look at them. Then go to 1 Corinthians 13. See what love is. And say to yourself, this is me. And I like how we put it here. Love, all right, in its varied expressions, and we've been learning the character, all right, of love, because that's what these things are: joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. So I want you to do this assignment on your own. Look through the fruit of the spirit, look through the works of the flesh, look through the fruit of the spirit, look through the works of the flesh. Which fruit of the spirit, or which fruit, I was going to add an S just for you to understand that, which fruits of the spirit counters which work of the flesh, or works of the flesh. So maybe you say, okay, love will not make me hate. All right? You got that example? Love will not make me commit adultery, because if I love my spouse, or even love person I'm being tempted towards, and love me and love God, I won't do that. Don't forget what we learned some weeks ago, Romans 13, that love is a fulfillment of the law if we walk in love. So at those points, no matter what we say, you know, yes, and we give all those excuses, we're under pressure, you know, this and that and that and that. So it means that our love expression and love revelation at that time is low. We allowed our flesh to get the better part of us. Do you understand that? We just allow that to get the better part of us. So you look at it again. So adultery, fornication. So what meets them? Love meets them. All right. But what else meets them? Maybe patience. Telling myself, hold yourself. So I'm giving you examples now. Patience comes in, hold yourself. I already give you an obvious example, which is self-control. Alright? So self-control, temperance comes in. But patience also could say, hold yourself. Hold. So you find what it is there. So I want you to look through which ones, alright? Which fruit of the Spirit meet which works of the flesh. You get the example now. So maybe it's witchcraft, alright? Why should I manipulate the person? Because I want the person to do something for me, and I don't want to go straight about it. You know, I want the person to feel indebted to me. You know, no, if I love the person, then I should freely give to the person. If the person doesn't respond, God will always, Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. Not necessarily wherever a man sows, he will reap. So you don't be weary in well-doing, Galatians tells us, and which is just chapter 6, alright? Don't be weary in well-doing, for in good season, in due season, you will reap if you don't faint. So you don't say, well, I was good to her, and good to her, now I need something, and they can't do it back for me. God knows you were good to them, so he saw your good seed, God will give you a great harvest. God will give you a great harvest. God will give you a great harvest. So you might not reap where you sowed, but you're going to reap what you sow. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. He will reap. So sow mercy, sow kindness, sow forgiveness. Cancel somebody's debt or reduce it. Oh, you owe me this, remove 2K, bring me the remaining 15,000. Whatever it is, just sow a seed to someone. Sow, because you tell yourself, I would receive more. Alright? My children will go to places all over the world and people will favor them. You know, so sometimes it might just not be all about you. You just sow. Even if there's no harvest coming back. It's alright. God will allow me and want me to just show you favor, so I'm going to show you favor. For Christ's sake. It's alright. Jesus loves you. You know, so I want you to do that before Wednesday. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the works of the flesh. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the works of the flesh. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. So if you can, itemize them. Pick one fruit of the Spirit, or pick one, you know, work of the flesh. Read through the fruit of the Spirit. Use different versions of the Bible. And then pick, okay, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. All right. Pick another one. This goes here, this goes here. All right. Maybe that's fine. Pick another one. This goes here, this goes here. Okay. Do that. Then when you're done, remind yourself of what he says, right, in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. That means if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because 16th verse, all right, says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So all you have to do not to fulfill the works of the flesh is walk in the Spirit. So if you fast and pray, all right, and you still don't do this, you might miss the point because you still need to put your flesh under. So look through, please, before Wednesday. Walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust. So that means if I walk in love and I walk in self-control, And I walk in patience. That means I can deal with these ones, all right? I can deal with this one. If I walk in love, it means I will not manipulate. If I walk in, then you're using them. So that means I'm going to keep walking here, all right? This might pull me, but I'm going to come here. This might pull me, but I'm going to come here. Because the Spirit pulls, the flesh pulls. You decide where you go. And you can't go in a direction you're not well fed in. Alright, Dr. Mike Murdoch said many years ago, and let me end on that. He said, whatever feeds your flesh will starve your spirit. Whatever feeds your spirit will starve your flesh. So if you keep feeding your flesh with food, you know, with sex whenever it wants it, with sleep whenever it wants it, with everything your flesh wants, the more you feed your flesh, it's going to be stronger than your spirit. But whatever feeds your spirit, prayer, fasting, self-control, you're doing the things, you study God's word, you have spiritual friends, you talk. The more you feed your spirit, you starve your flesh. After a while, your flesh will be weak. The same flesh that can't go one day fasting cannot go 3 days of fast, because it's starved and it's put down and it's put under. Praise God. I believe you've learned something so amazing in this service. All right. So Father, thank you. We've learned. We've been blessed. And thank you because the revelation of your love in us, through us, around us is finding greater and more mighty expressions, all right, in the name of Jesus. Guys, welcome once again to our very, 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 very video broadcast. Let's know what you think. Drop your comments right there on the page. Let's know. Drop observations, questions. All right, let's talk. It's our church community. That's why we have this Facebook page. If there's someone you know who's a member of the church and you can't find the person in the Facebook community, bring the person in. Let the person know, hey, it's church. All we're doing is church. It's who we are, what we are. Okay, so it's a combination of our Lagos and Ijebode centers. Let's just have church together and have a very, 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 very great time. So we look forward to being able to do this again on Wednesday. But let's have your comments and reactions. We'll put things together. We look forward to just being able to serve, you know, you a lot more this season. Those of you listening on Spreaker, please just let's get your comments, also your feedback. You could drop comments right here, also, you know, on Spreaker. And just let's know what we think, and then keep, you know, keep improving and keep getting better. So I've been saying, you know, for about two services now that the very last Sunday of this month will be our offering Sunday. And it's okay, I say, you know, Jesus wasn't ashamed to talk money, wasn't ashamed to use money as examples. He wasn't even ashamed to tell them, you cannot serve God and serve money. He said it. You know, so sometimes one is careful, all right, not to feel like a money preacher. And even when you don't preach money for many years, like I didn't, you know, even when you want to talk money, you still feel someone else here might not say he's a money preacher. Listen, so I'm not. So, hey, well, Bible wants us to talk money. God talks money. All right, Jesus, you know, how did Jesus know that the widow, all right, gave two mites, all right, and that she gave more than the other people? It was because he stood beside the offering collection box and he was looking. He looked. So he saw what the woman dropped and he called people's attention and said, see what she dropped. He said it publicly. He said, see, she gave more than you guys. Some of you came here bragging and dropping fat money, but that's all she had and she gave it. So Jesus saw it and Jesus commended it. So it's okay to talk money. It's okay. All right. All we need to just do is have a right relationship with money. And that is, we put money where it belongs. Money is not a master. Money is a servant. So I want to read, just encourage us as we prepare for the last Sunday of the month, which is our offering Sunday. What do you give to your church? You commit a percentage of your income to your church. That's, you give, you, because that's where you're fed spiritually. Malachi says, bring all the tithes that there may be food in the house. So yes, we are not under the law, so we're not bound by that. But the principle of giving remains. You give to where you're fed spiritually so that they can run, okay? They can sustain, they can meet needs, they can do a whole stuff. That's one of the major purposes of giving. What you give as a believer, Bible says you propose in your heart. But if they are told under the law to do 10%, I've always encouraged, and I'd like to encourage you, do more. God keeps blessing us. So, hey, all right? So, you store it up. So, but let's see what 1 Corinthians 16, all right, says. I'll read the Passion Translation. Paul says, now concerning the collection that I want to take for God's holy people in Jerusalem, who I need, he wants to take up an offering for them in Jerusalem. See what he says. I want you to follow the same instructions I gave to the churches of Galatia. What's that? Verse 2. Every Sunday, each of you make a generous offering by taking a portion of whatever God has blessed you with and place it in a safekeeping. I'll take that again. Every Sunday, each of you make a generous offering by taking a portion of whatever God has blessed you with and place it in safekeeping. So he's saying, plan, work. Okay, let me read the next verse so you get the full picture. When I arrive, I will send your gifts to the poor in Jerusalem, along with a letter of comment, of explanation carried by the people whom you approve. So let me read what now? NLT. Watch this. So it says, upon the first day or on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. So once a week, put the money aside. The money I earned this week, put a portion aside. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. All right, so that Sunday is coming, and we said it's offering Sunday. So it's not Friday, and I say, what do I do? Let me try. And then remember, like, 15 things you want to do. You want to pay NEPA bill, DSTV is expired, many things you want to do. Each week, set up your mind. What am I doing? So this shows you can plan to give. All right? The same way you know DSTV is expiring, you want to pay. The same way you know there's NEPA bill, you want to... You could say, I would use my faith, and I've done that a number of times. I would use my faith for this, and this money, this is the portion I'm giving, and I'm keeping it aside. So once again, I'm reading, on the first day of the week, NLT, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned, every one of you. Don't wait until I get there, and then we try to collect it all at once. It's a lot of pressure. Plan. When I come, I'll write letters of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to, you know, you deliver that to choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. So Paul is saying we have a financial project. We want to give to those in Jerusalem. So plan. So same also, so we've not talked about offering the last couple of weeks. And I said, okay, last Sunday of the month, let's do that. Plan. So what's your plan? Make up your mind. How much are you giving? Make up your mind. What would you like to give? Make up your mind. You don't have that amount yet. Trust God. That's where faith comes in. He gives seed to the sower. bread to the eater. Believe him for it. Some money comes in there, take it out. Oh, I found part of my money. Store. That's why I said every day of the week. I mean, first day of every week. Once a week. Create a time to store. Create a time to store. If you can't store and say it's going to be safe, then transfer and say, okay, I've sent that part. I have more. I have faith for. He comes in, take a portion, send it out. So Paul here is not ashamed to talk about money. Jesus is not ashamed to talk about money. So Larry and I say, I'll not be ashamed to talk about money. Is that all right? So it's just the Bible. All right. You've trusted us with your funds. We've not manipulated anything. I said it some time ago that we've had influence of spirit in Lagos. People have come to Carry Center or Pistis, you know, hub where we've had to use. And it's amazing. I mean, I've had to pay my own fuel to drive my family and myself to Lagos. You know, I've had to squat, you know, or stay in a friend's house, you know, so the ministry doesn't have to pay. Now, of course, I mean, some leaders came together once and then, you know, hosted us, paid hotel, gave us food. I mean, we're fine, you know, so they took care of us that weekend and I appreciate it. But most of the times I'm staying in someone's house, not like meeting ends and then there's an amount of money coming to me from the proceeds. No. So everybody's giving. We've even had people who thought the ministry's account number was my personal account number, so they wanted to sow seeds to me and they sent it to the ministry first. And then they say, oh, I sent you something. I say, oh, praise God. So find your lot in the ministry. I'm like, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Ministry is being blessed. Ministry is making progress. So, hey, our heart is in what we're doing and we love it. So please, let's do that. Okay. And like I always get to end the services, spread faith, spread hope, spread love. All right. I believe you've been blessed. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again. Thank you because our hearts are enlightened. We thank you because we're full of faith. Thank you once again because your love, the revelation of your love is full in our hearts. We give you praise. Thank you because we know that yes, our existing needs, but you are the God who meets and supplies every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we say in the name of Jesus, our needs are met. We say that there's direction for everyone who needs clarity. We say there's wisdom for everyone that is stuck on one level or in one situation or the other. That this season we are bound in revelation and in wisdom and in results. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So looking forward to hearing your feedback. Have a beautiful evening. Yes, please, lest I forget. 5 p.m. today, all right, on Instagram, on YouTube, on Instagram Live, please, all right, join us. Join me, all right, for 45 minutes, 5 to 5:45, Influence of the Spirit Weekly. I'll be looking forward to having you. Thank you. Bye.
time again, you have proven you do just what you said. Though the storm